The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome in, folks, here on Big Blue Views Audio Lineup. I'm Joe DeLeon, joined by Chris Fung and Nick Pilato for today's New York Giants versus Miami Dolphins preview, a game where both teams are looking to capitalize on some momentum, the Dolphins much more than the Giants, considering their recent surge. Hey guys, I was thinking about this earlier. Both of these teams, if you look at them from a 50-foot view, they have some strange similarities. Young quarterbacks who are struggling to find their way. Now, we might not have Daniel Jones in this game, which we're going to get to. You've got two bad offensive lines, underwhelming receiver groups, and two very good defenses led by two former Belichick assistants. So this game is going to be very, very interesting coming into this because we have... so strangely similar teams that will be matching up at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah, this kind of reminds me of like an old Mortal Kombat palette swap matchup or a mirror matchup where you're both of you choose Sub-Zero and one's just Sub-Zero in a different color. Yeah, how these two teams have gotten to where they are is very different. You know, the Dolphins started out 1-7, they lost 6 straight. But then, you know, Tua got back, Tua got healthy. They seem to have more or less found their way and have ripped off the last 4 wins. They had a really decisive win against the Carolina Panthers. So they are definitely one of the hottest teams in football right now. But both of these teams are beat up. They both have some pretty similar strengths and weaknesses. So... like I said, it is almost eerie how similar these two teams are right now.
It is, man. And you're right, Joe. This team is surging at the moment, the Miami Dolphins. But when you look at the styles, especially on the defensive side, these are two completely different teams, despite the fact they're both defensive coaches that stem from the Bill Belichick tree. I mean, this team runs so much man coverage. They're insanely aggressive. We remember Thursday Night Football, how they blitzed Lamar Jackson. I think it was like 38 times or something. Yeah. And a lot of those were cover zero blitzes. So if this was Daniel Jones in this game, you know they were going to do that because that's what Todd Bowles does against Daniel Jones, and that's what everyone does against Daniel Jones, because Daniel Jones hasn't made defensive coordinators around the league pay for blitzing him.
Yeah, and I think we can really get to why and how the Dolphins are able to do that once we get to the defensive side. But like you said, if this is Daniel Jones, and I think that's kind of the big question floating in the air and hanging over the Giants right now, is, you know, what is up with Daniel Jones? And right now we kind of don't know.
Right. So, Chris, that's the first thing that we wanted to discuss on today's show before we take that offense versus defense approach, like we usually do on these preview episodes. It came out middle of the week that Daniel Jones, originally it was like Daniel Jones might not start because of a neck strain, and then it was Mike Glennon's going to start because Daniel Jones is neck strain. And then now it still sounds like there's a possibility that Daniel Jones plays. So it's a bit messy in terms of the clarity on that situation. And I'm sure by the time that we publish this episode, because we're recording on Wednesday, it's going to publish on Thursday morning, there's probably going to be a completely different answer from what we're talking about right now. But the thing with this circumstance is, how do we feel about who ends up starting? How are things going to look differently if it's Glennon versus Daniel Jones? The one thing I want to toss out there that might actually be of benefit if Mike Glennon starts. We were just talking about how much this Dolphins defense loves to blitz. And Daniel Jones, as we know, is not very good when he's blitzed very heavily. So maybe a more veteran guy, a more of a reliance on just trying to run the ball, if that's even in the cards for Freddie Kitchens calling the plays, maybe that's a little bit better. I'm just throwing that out there to see what you guys think.
I think it's something to definitely speculate on. It's definitely not a good situation, and I wouldn't necessarily bank on it. I think it's a glass half full way to look at this. But if Mike Glennon is better in these situations, what does that say about Daniel Jones? I mean, you're 3 years into this guy's career, and if Mike Glennon goes out there and he makes the Miami Dolphins pay for the fact that they want to blitz him, and they start, say the Giants put up near 30 points in this game, and it's not because of a bunch of defensive turnovers, that to me is kind of telling about Daniel Jones. It's not necessarily a great tell either.
Yeah, I could see. I think the biggest difference is that the any threat of a quarterback run or scramble is going to be off the table with Mike Glennon.
Yes.
Because, you know, in fact, I do kind of feel like it should be off the table anyway, just because, you know, we have seen Daniel Jones get hurt. I believe he was this neck injury, whether or not it winds up keeping him out this week, stems from a quarterback run. I believe it was a read option run real early in the game against the Eagles. I think the Giants are going to want him taking as few hits as possible if he does play. But yeah, the difference between Glennon and Jones, it could be something where there just isn't that much tape on Mike Glennon in the Giants offense. So that could make Brian Flores just a little bit more hesitant to dial up a ton of blitzes just because he's kind of an unknown. Of course, the flip side of that is Mike Glennon is also kind of known because he was a starting quarterback for a while. There's a lot of tape on him in other offenses. So the Dolphins will probably have a pretty good idea of how Glennon is going to respond to pressure. So I think there's going to be a lot of gamesmanship and kind of mental chess match between the coaching staffs even before the first kickoff even happens. Just because, you know, Brian Flores knows Patrick Graham, Brian Flores knows Joe Judge. They were all together most recently between Graham and Flores in Miami, and then all of them were together in New England. These guys all know each other.
They all know each other, and they also watched last week's tape when Daniel Jones was the quarterback and how many little slip screens hit big for the New York Giants. Obviously, you had the flea flicker tight end screen that went for 20 to Evan Ingram, and then you had that 3rd-and-7 play where Daniel Jones found Devontae Booker, converted a first down, and that was because they were punishing the Philadelphia Eagles for bringing pressure. That was towards the pressure side. So if Miami starts bringing a lot of pressure on the defensive side, I guess we're talking about the defense right now. But if they do that, the Giants can possibly hit some big chunk plays. So I'm actually curious to see if Brian Flores continues to show that incredibly aggressive nature, or if they just decide to utilize their coverage and be like, look, Mike Glennon and these group of receivers are not going to defeat us, Byron Jones, Nick Needham, and Xavier Howard without Daniel Jones. So I'm curious as well. I think it's going to be an interesting chess match, as you put it, Chris.
And I think it's kind of a funny angle, Chris. You kind of threw this out there. It's like, who knows the other guy better? It's from all the time that they spent together in New England. It's like, who can predict the opposing coach better in this circumstance? But the thing I want to throw out there is leading into talking about facing off against this Dolphins offense that has a really, really bad offensive line that has been significantly underwhelming despite spending some draft picks to fix that offensive line. Tua has been inconsistent because he's young, like we've seen the same struggles from Daniel Jones, and they don't run the ball very well because of that offensive line. Do we think, and I honestly think this is a strong possibility, that the Giants can recreate a similar defensive performance like they had against the Eagles this upcoming week against the Dolphins? And I'm referring to maybe allowing some chunk plays and some yardage on rushing plays, but leading to and setting up Tua for some serious egregious errors that set up the Giants to win the football game. What do you guys think?
I personally think this might look a little bit more like the Panthers game as far as game plan from the Giants. The Dolphins love their quick strike offense. In the tape I saw, Tua was basically, you know, receiving the snap, hitting his back foot, and immediately throwing the ball. It was a whole lot of lateral plays, flare outs from H-backs, sending receivers in motion and then hitting them for, you know, quick screens on the other side. I think the longest pass I saw was a slant to Jalen Waddle. And that is pretty much their offense. And Tua is executing it really well. I think he's completed just under 90% of his passes over the last 2 weeks. He's at 70% on the season. You know, it fits who he is, and it fits what they are capable of right now, which is really just getting the ball into the hands of Jalen Waddle, Mike Gesicki. Miles Gaskin is capable of doing some things in space, but really it's going to be getting the ball out quickly, trying to neutralize the Giants' pass rush and the Giants' own blitzes as much as they can.
We also might see some Philip Lindsay, who was recently signed to the Miami Dolphins, and they also use Salvin Ahmed. But I think you made a lot of good points there, Chris. I'm just overall, man, I don't want to say excited to see Mike Glennon, but I do want to see how the play calling is altered with Mike Glennon and what the Giants are going to do differently. Because a big way the Giants utilized Daniel Jones was with RPOs, with zone read, and kind of bringing his legs into the fray. That's not going to be the case with Mike Glennon. So how is Freddie Kitchens in his second game with more than, you know, 6 days to prepare? How is he going to alter this offense? I'm curious about that. And in terms of Tua Tagovailoa, you're right, man, 70% completion. I think it's like the second highest in the league behind just Kyler Murray. And ever since coming back from that finger injury, he had the rib injury earlier on, he's kind of been hitting it. And he didn't have great competition outside of Baltimore. And then this Carolina game was like, all right, let's see what they do. They're at home. And they just absolutely boat race the Carolina Panthers. More of a defensive effort. And I'm hoping that doesn't happen against Mike Glennon and this offense, but we will see. I think this is a winnable game for the New York Giants, but it seems like with a healthy Daniel Jones, but it seems like every time a team goes down to Miami, there's something about that place, man, where opposing teams struggle. I don't know if there's like a nightlife that players are going out. I doubt that. You know, you would hope professionals aren't doing that, but it does seem like a lot of teams struggle to play down in Miami. It might be the humidity, and that could also play a factor in this game.
Yeah, that really could be a factor, especially, you know, it's December now. It's, you know, the Giants' last home game was, you know, the weather wasn't great. You know, it's, you know, New Jersey in late November, early December. It's going to be, you know, kind of cold and dank and just that kind of weather where it sinks in, gets in your bones, and you need an hour with a nice cup of hot coffee or hot chocolate and a fireplace to get warm again. Go down to Miami where there's a good chance it'll be 80 or warmer at game time. That's kind of a shock to the system. And then you get a Dolphins team that likes to make their opponents run, either running to catch up with their offense. Cause, you know, one thing I have to say is, damn, Jalen Waddle is fast. I was most recently watching the Carolina game, and he made a play against that Carolina defense, which they've got a pretty good secondary, that it reminded me just of a play he made against the University of South Carolina, where he caught a quick slant, had just a little glimmer of daylight, turned on the jets, and all of a sudden every defender's angle was busted. And he turned what should have been a 5 or 6 yard catch into, I think it was about a 12 or 15 yard play. So that I think is going to be something the Giants are definitely going to have to watch out for. And then the Dolphins defense is, I think, a little bit underrated.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, they certainly are. And as for Waddle, I feel like from all the Dolphins film I've watched this season, they were using him a lot in the slot, and they were using him a lot on just horizontal breaking routes over the middle of the field to defeat man coverage, find the void in the zones. And they haven't used him as much vertically. But last week, you saw some deep seven routes. You saw him used vertically, and he was able to take advantage of the man coverage that Carolina was running against them. So that's something I don't feel like the Giants are going to run a lot of man coverage. But even when you're in zone, if you align Jalen Waddle outside towards the boundary, and it's one-on-one him against James Bradberry, that's going to be scary because James Bradberry has struggled with speed this season. He got burned by CeeDee Lamb. There were a couple other plays throughout the season where he didn't surrender a catch, but he was beat. He got beat by Breshad Perriman on Monday Night Football. Just Perriman couldn't catch the football because he's Breshad Perriman. So I think if that, and I'm curious to see what the Giants do, not to speak so much on the Giants, but I mean, this is the matchup. You want to talk about the chess match because we've seen the Giants use James Bradberry on tight ends. We see him used on Darren Waller. We see him used on Travis Kelce. He did a really good job. I'm wondering if they're going to use him on Mike Gesicki or if they want to stick him on Jalen Waddle. And if they don't use him on Jalen Waddle and stick him on Gesicki, who is going to cover Jalen Waddle if Adoree Jackson doesn't play? It looks like he's trending in the right direction, which is great for the New York Giants because without Adoree Jackson, Jalen Waddle could just torch this team.
Yeah, that I think is something else just to keep an eye on is the injuries for players not named Daniel Jones. What happens with Adoree Jackson. What happens with the rest of the secondary, the other players on the Giants offense? And also it seems like the Dolphins have been about to get Devontae Parker and Will Fuller back for 2 or 3 weeks now. Off the top of my head, I don't remember what Will Fuller's injury was, but Parker had a hamstring and he's going into, I believe, his fourth week. So yeah, it's starting to be about that time where maybe he will be able to make a serious run at playing. And Devontae Parker's a really good receiver.
He is. Yeah, sorry, Joe.
No, go ahead, Nick. Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, he's a great contested catch receiver, similar to what the Giants have in Kenny Golladay. But it doesn't seem like the Giants have figured out how to get Kenny Golladay those contested catches quite yet.
Yeah, there is that.
So flipping the script, guys, here on talking about this underrated Dolphins defense. They have probably one of the most aggressive defenses in the NFL. I don't know for certain, but I believe, like, on average, they blitz more than any other team. I don't quote me on that because I don't know that for 100% certain. But this defense, as we've seen, has stepped up to some challenges against some good offenses, like the way that they played against Lamar Jackson. Their secondary also plays up to that aggressiveness in that attacking style that they play, which, you know, they've got Xavien Howard, Javon Holland, who is a rookie, has looked pretty good. What are some of the things that you guys see from this Dolphins defense that we should be aware of?
I'll just say they don't blitz the most. They're second behind the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, okay, but by less than half of a percentage point. The Bucs are at 38.8%. The Dolphins are at 38.4%. So basically, they blitz at about the same rate as the Buccaneers, which is a lot. And they do get to the quarterback a lot. They've got a higher knockdown percentage than anyone else in the league. And they lead the Ravens by about half a percentage point there. So, they blitz a lot. They get a lot of pressure. And for me, it comes from really two and a half things. The first is the play of their secondary. They've got two really good cornerbacks in Byron Jones and Xavien Howard. Giants fans know Byron Jones from his time as a Cowboy. Big, long, athletic, not a ball hawk, but he also doesn't give up a whole lot of catches. And then Xavien Howard has become a really good corner. He's not a guy you want to throw at. Right now, he's got 13 passes defensed, 3 interceptions, and I believe 2 forced fumbles. And he's only giving up about 54.5% completion. So they've got two guys on the outside who can stick to receivers like glue. That gives Brian Flores all of the flexibility for dialing up blitzes. And then, you know, on that defensive line, rookie Jalen Phillips, he is playing really, really well over the last month. He had a monster game against the Panthers, three sacks. I think it was three sacks, three tackles for a loss, quarterback hits. Hold on. Let me just look at that real quick. Yes. So three sacks, three tackles for a loss, four quarterback hits and a pass defensed. That was just last week. He's had at least half a sack in each of the last four games, five sacks overall. He is catching fire off the edge. And then Emmanuel Agba is, he's one of those guys who kind of flies under the radar, but he's not a guy you can forget about either.
Nick, what are some of your thoughts on the defense?
Chris hit a lot of the talking points about the defense, but honestly, it's the man coverage. It's going to be sticky. And we've seen throughout at least Daniel Jones' era, going back to last year, and this is still Jason Garrett's playbook, if you're going to continue to run those curls and those stick routes consistently and not vary it up at all, you're going to be in trouble. Now, my hope is that Freddie Kitchens shows what he did against Cleveland last year when he was the offensive coordinator. If you remember that game, there were a couple plays that were man-beating double moves to try and bait those man coverage defenders, Denzel Ward and them, to really sit on some of them routes. And then there was a double move built into it. I could see the Giants maybe dialing up a couple of those with a six-man protection, whether that be the tight end stay or the running back, to try and take advantage of this man covering team. There's a lot of ways to defeat man coverage with pick routes, with rub routes. There's a lot of ways to defeat the blitz with timely screens and selling that well, but it's all about execution. And the New York Giants offense has not been executing. That offensive line is incredibly bad. And it's probably actually not as bad as the Miami Dolphins, but that could be a fun discussion right there too. But who has a worse, not to deviate from the defense too much, but who has a worse offensive line, the Dolphins or the Giants?
Personally, I think the Dolphins are just a little bit worse, but I don't think that's a title either team really wants.
Oh, absolutely not. It's a disgusting title. It seems like Robert Hunt, who played under Robert Saleh at Louisiana Lafayette, is probably their best lineman. Could be one of their best wide receivers, too, after we saw what he did.
So him and Andrew Thomas.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so Jalen Phillips is the person I'm probably most scared of. But you even look at Emmanuel Agba, who's kind of bounced around the league a little bit, was a little bit more of a run defender with the Chiefs and a little bit more of a run defender with the Browns. He has 50 pressures. He leads the team in pressures right now and second in sacks behind Jalen Phillips. Like you said, he's playing out of his mind. Christian Wilkins, who was teammates with Dexter Lawrence at Clemson, is one of the better young interior defensive linemen. He can create pressure. He does, you know, collapse the pocket. He's one of the better bull rushers. And what does Billy Price, Will Hernandez, and Matt Skura struggle with? You know, players who can bull rush. So I'm not overly optimistic about these matchups, especially if you don't have Daniel Jones's mobility, which they're probably not going to have even if Daniel Jones plays, because I'm sure the Giants are going to be very, you know, cautious with their quarterback. So I'm not optimistic about the defensive matchup against the New York Giants offense. And I think it's, you know, warranted with everything the Giants offense has shown us recently.
Yeah, this, I think, has the potential to be a very ugly game. Now, recently, or even going back to last year, ugly games have tended to work out in the Giants' favor. And this year, the Giants have come up against a bunch of teams that have come in red hot, and they've kind of returned to be their worst selves against the Giants. So I think that's really what the Giants have to hope for, is that for some reason, the Dolphins, maybe they're kind of feeling themselves. Maybe Daniel Jones doesn't play and the Dolphins take the Giants lightly. Or, you know, they look at, you know, a Giants team that can't score 20 points for the life of them and they take their foot off the gas. Or maybe Patrick Graham dials up a defense that just completely disrupts the Dolphins' offense. You know, if this gets into a mud fight, I think that's the Giants' best chance.
Which is that, and that's what's the upside of a team like that? Because I feel like every week we kind of go into these matchups saying, if we can get it into a mud fight, then the Giants have a chance. Like there's that's not sustainable whatsoever. And I just feel like that's the current state of the New York Giants offense, because they just can't sustain any offensive drives and then score in the red zone. They'll put together, you know, a nice 12, 13 play drive and then kick a field goal at like the 29 yard line. It's just, I don't know, man, like looking at the big picture of this New York Giants team right now, like this is not a way to actually win football games and make any sort of playoff push.
Yeah, no, it's not sustainable. That has been my biggest problem and concern with this team. Like, yes, they are coming away with wins, but they aren't doing it in a way that is really sustainable. Like you say, a way you can count on. They're not dictating the terms of the game to the opposing team. Now, maybe that'll change this week, or maybe the Dolphins will just stay hot. That's just something we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, guys, I think that might be a good note to wrap us up on. Folks, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to hit the subscribe button to stay up to date. We're going to be coming at you after the game with a reaction show, as we always do. So stay tuned for that. Enjoy the rest of your week, folks. We'll talk to you soon.